Hi, this is T, host of Champagne Sharks, and you are listening to a preview of the latest episode of Champagne Sharks. It's a premium episode, meaning to hear the whole thing, you have to go to patreon.com/champagnesharks. That's Patreon spelled Patreon.com. Then Champagne Sharks, one word, no underscore or hyphen. Go there for $5 a month. You will get access to double the episodes, meaning two episodes a week instead of one, and you get access to all the archives of bonus premium episodes, meaning you can listen to the back premium bonus episodes that you missed. So it's a really good deal. $5 a month, patreon.com/champagnesharks. And with no further ado, here is the preview. Hope you enjoy.
Like, if the ending of Dope had that, you know, where we actually get to hear what his admission essay to Harvard read, he's writing out his essay. And it was all about him kind of trying to get you to understand that just seeing him as a young black man who's from the inner city, raised by a single mom, that doesn't really capture who he really is. But in some ways, it's almost just kind of exploiting that stereotype. That was what the whole movie was about, was exploiting all the stereotypes of what blackness is.
This is the problem that I have, and it's kind of what I was trying to get at before, because I've seen it from that angle. They want to transcend the stereotypes, but part of the problem is they kind of buy into them. And what I mean by that is, like, because Haitian people are very similar to Nigerian people in that extent. Like, they will be like, oh, you don't want to be classified as a nigger. But they really believe that the nigger stereotype is real. They just want you. So in a way, they're almost invested in it being real, because their value comes from transcending it. Like, you know, if so, it's like, hey, there really are black people who are this stereotype, and there's a lot of them. But people like me don't fall into the stereotype. And that's why you, white person, should respect me. Because, yeah, there's
I'm the exceptional nigger.
Yes, the exceptional nigger. Thank you. Yes, and that's kind of what was bugging me about Dope. And I feel that same way about, I feel that permeates Insecure in a way, like that ratchet pussy rap and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of rap out there that doesn't fall into that category. Like, why is it when you go into your rap character, I mean,
she has to be so crass and vulgar and... Yeah. It's interesting because Issa Rae herself, in terms of her background, you already mentioned she's Nigerian American. And correct me if I'm wrong, but she comes from two parents who are first generation, or I guess they were the actual immigrants. She's a first generation Nigerian American who was born here, right?
Yeah.
But her parents were both her parents were professionals. She went to Stanford. She's had a very, you know, solid career.
Yeah, and she's one of those people that you can tell was always on an Ivy track from the beginning. I know how these Nigerian parents are, yeah.
Right, but then somehow the character that she wants to present to us is also a woman who's, you know, educated, maybe not the Ivy track star immigrant, you know, that Issa Rae is in real life, but she's a teacher, so she has some wits about herself. But the way she lets her hair down is rapping about broken pussy. Not saying those two people can't exist in the same space, but there could be something else there as well. Like, the only way to be authentically black doesn't mean that it has to exude overt, crass sexuality in its basest form. I don't think that that's necessarily required.
I feel like she's kind of telling on herself, as far as I think she, and I feel the same way with the guy who did Dope, they're white identified to a point that they have trouble not looking at black people as others. Like, I feel like she kind of otherizes black people the same way, like, middle-class white liberals do. And because if you notice, like, how white liberals use black people, like, Have we spoken about the whole Maxine Waters thing and the anti-Maxine trend that's going on with these white liberals? Keep calling Maxine Waters like anti-Maxine, and they're like, yeah, Maxine Waters was serving looks, and they're using all this, like, they're talking about her like she's like the spirit and
someone's sassy auntie.
Yeah, but it's like they'll never go to her to have an intellectual takedown of Trump. Like, if they want to have an intellectual takedown of Trump, they'll talk to somebody white. But if they want, you know, something sassy or something, you know, where they can like have an opportunity to use some slang or something, then they bring her, like she's just there to be a hood auntie. No matter what credentials this woman has or whatever, they don't really see her as something, like, if they want to explore their, like, they see her and they're like, I wish I could do what she does, like, you know, talk sassy or do, or not even what,
and look over my glasses the way that she does.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah, and maybe not even what she does, what they perceive she does. Like, her little actions, like, you know, if a white person looks over the glasses, it's just a white person looking over the glasses. But because of their pre-existing stereotypes, everything she does is imbued with stereotypical black sass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Issa has that same relationship to black people. Like, black people are... Black American people and Black American culture, it was what she does when she wants to explore her id, her ratchet side, you know? And it just seems weird to me that so many Black people are buying into that. But I'm thinking maybe a lot of the Black people who love this show have the same relationship to Black people. Because you look at a lot of their screen names, they're very weird screen names. Like, oh, you've seen when we argue with them, you notice how quick they go to just talking ratchet for no reason?
Right. Like, it gets real, it goes from 0 to 100 real quick to where they're suddenly just being very crass, lots of vulgarity, insults. It just goes into a nasty place immediately.
Yeah.
Almost to a point where it just doesn't even feel authentic.
Yeah.
I think I can have a conversation with someone who's legit in the hood and it'd be more reasonable than what I'm getting from these people on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, somebody will be like a PhD or an activist or an Ivy League grad, and you're talking to them and they're like, nigga, shut up, man. I'll cut your ass. Like, they'll be talking. It's like, what? Come on. You're an educated person. This is cosplay. You're being a caricature right now. Like, I don't know if you think this is what being authentically black. Like, this is weird code switching that just doesn't seem authentic. That they do.
Right. And code switching is a real thing. Yeah. Like, I'm a black professional. My friends are black professionals. We have a certain way that we keep it, you know, very straight and professional during the day. And we can chill out and really relax and let our hair down in the evening. But that doesn't require us to just be good.
Yes. They code switch into like a caricature of black people, and it's a similar caricature of black people to what a lot of white liberals have. And I don't think it's a coincidence that so many of these people grew up in a predominantly white environments. And when you dig into their, because a lot of them are freelance writers, when you dig into their writing clippings and history, inevitably they almost always have something about how they discovered their blackness late, or they're, you know, they had some kind of nigger wake up call where they realized that they weren't just honorary white people among their white friends, you know? So I feel like they kind of learned their blackness late. And as a result, they have a weird caricatured version of it.
Like, they're almost trying to overcompensate. They let me blackety-black it up, even though what they're doing really isn't authentic to any of us who've been well aware of our blackness our whole lives. It's just weird.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think because they've grown up so among these white liberals, they know what these people want to see or hear. You know, like, they're kind of like packaging and pimping this blackness that is still kind of new to them and selling it to these white liberals because those white liberals know even less.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I see it a lot, especially with Insecure, with the way they present their female characters, I guess, more than the men. But you've got Issa as the main character, Miss Broken Pussy Rap, and just confusing all over the place in her relationships. And Then you've got Molly, the consummate professional at work, who's just, you know, banging and sexually exploring herself outside the workplace, which is fine. But then you get to the friends, like you said, the heavyset, black, sassy friend who's always crass, always vulgar, throwing herself at men who are clearly uninterested. She's just there to kind of fit that role, to kind of be able to do all the things that they don't want their real two main stars to do.
Yes, exactly. And she is like, I feel like she's there. She serves the purpose that a sassy mammy character serves in a white movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just really weird. You know what else is, I think is very telling in that? How the kids from the inner city are portrayed. Like, Issa, I mean, those kids just seem so just... I can't explain. It's something about the way those kids are characterized in her class. It's just really weird. And the way Issa Rae's character relates to them feels more like a dangerous minds white savior character.
More than some, like, she's Michelle Pfeiffer from Dangerous Minds versus another black person who's from that neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't feel like, hey, you know, I'm, or not even if you're from that neighborhood, like, because you could be middle class or upper class black and deal with inner city black people, but still kind of feel like, you know, these are my brothers and sisters. These are my brethren. Like, you know, yeah. So she otherizes those kids in a straight, in a very uncomfortable way. Where I think
in a strange way, where I don't think she knows what she's doing. It's because then they'll include those scenes where she's supposed to be advocating against them being otherized in those teachers' meetings.
Yes.
Like, she's supposed to be standing against that, but then when you see her own interactions with the kids, it's not really any better than any of the white teachers.
Exactly, or it's marginally better, but because they're so much worse and she's better than them, she thinks that she's better than she actually is. But it's like a narcissism of small differences.